Okay, so for this week's Africa Report, we are joined on the line by Research Director of the Center for Africa-China Studies at the University of Johannesburg, Emmanuel Mutombo. We focus on the M23 in Congo that have agreed to a ceasefire and has acceded to calls to negotiate with the government. This follows the most serious offensive in eastern DRC by the M23 since 2012. Emmanuel, a very good morning to you. Welcome once again to Radio Islam International. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for inviting me, and good morning to your listeners.
So what's the background to the M23's insurgency, especially in eastern Congo?
Well, we can go back even as far as the first Congo war that pushed Mobutu Sese Seko out of power from 1996. And that was a spillover, actually, from the Rwandan genocide of 1994, when the Hutu perpetrators of the genocide were driven into Congo. And then the Congo, obviously, were accused of giving haven, safe haven, to people who were genocides. And obviously that caused in the invasion of Rwanda and the increasing involvement of Rwanda into Congo's destabilization process up to the current situation. Now, the movement for the 23 March movement, called the M23 in short, started in 2012. And this was a rebel movement that was mostly led by Tutsi-speaking Congolese people. And that obviously developed into a very big insurgency that took major parts of the Kivu province of the Congo. And there have been relentless allegations that Rwanda, which is led by Tutsi government, is still supporting the rebel movement and is hence involved in the destabilization of the Congo. So yes, it is a domestic civil unrest to the extent that M23 Tutsi-speaking people are from Congo, but then there has been a lot of involvement as well from people from other countries around the Great Lakes region.
So who have been the main players in the conflict, both openly and directly?
So openly, yes, it has been mostly Tutsi-speaking Congolese people who feel alienated from the central government of the Democratic Republic of Congo, which, of course, since independence has been a notoriously unstable country, and the central government never seems to have a hold of all parts of the country. So yes, overtly, it is actually an internal strife amongst Congolese, but Congolese obviously who subscribe to different political beliefs and then who speak different languages. Indirectly, there has been an involvement, as I said, of Rwanda, even though Rwanda strenuously denies, but there was media this year, actually, there was a United Nations report that actually said Rwanda has been offering active support to M23 clandestinely, so obviously, and predictably, Rwanda denied, but no one seems to take that seriously.
So what's the significance of M23's willingness to negotiate with the DRC government?
This is what has been happening now is quite significant. Whether or not we should put so much belief in it, and whether or not if they have external backers, will actually support them to come to the negotiating table is another matter. But what most important at the moment, obviously, is their willingness to negotiate. But we have to hope, though, because they have already said that they reserve the right to defend themselves, which means they are ready to take up arms and they are not ready for a comprehensive ceasefire. They just want to test the water, so to say. One of their demands has been that they want to directly negotiate with the Congolese government. And I think that is a reasonable request on their side, because the talks that have been happening in the capital city of Angola, in Luanda, only involved Burundi, Angola, Uganda, and the Democratic Republic of Congo without a Pacific country from the M23. So I think on that basis, we can say that, yes, it is significant that they actually are ready to surrender themselves for peace talks. They are conversing, obviously, directly with the Congolese government. And the East African community has to involve M23 as a significant part of this civil strife.
So what is the role now of third-party players in resolving the conflict?
There is an inevitable part, actually, if any peace is to be established, there is an inevitable part that external players can play. Obviously, regionally, we have to start with the East African community. It is quite encouraging that Kenya has sent some of its troops there to ensure that there is stability and the protection of ordinary citizens. At a global level, we have to look at the United Nations, obviously, bolstering its presence in the Congo. And I think the heft that the East African community and the United Nations can bring to this matter would actually offer more prospects for peace. Another reason why external players have a greater role to play is that if there is Rwanda's participation in this particular unrest, which is a reasonable presumption, by the way, then it is only regional bodies such as the East African Community and SADC that can bring so much pressure to bear on Rwanda to facilitate its retreat from the Congo.
So what would be a perfect outcome here, Emmanuel?
The perfect outcome at the moment, obviously, would be, first of all, the assurance of security for ordinary citizens, especially in the eastern part of the Congo. So that is of utmost importance. That is of immediate importance. Another scenario, obviously, is the ejection of destabilizing foreign forces, if at all they are involved, especially in reinforcing the M23 movement. Another part, obviously, will be a very good and unbelievable roadmap on how exactly the Eastern Congo will be governed. Because for a long time, Goma, which is the capital of the Kivu province, has been dominated by M23. So how then can the central government of the DRC come up with a solution that will enable that M23's demands are listened to, but at the same time will enable them to know that, yes, we have been ruling Eastern Congo as our sovereignty, but how then can we bring it under some protection or some kind of governance from the central government? So I think the last part will be very difficult, because M23 has been entrenched in Goma and the eastern part of Congo. How then will they work that out? I think at this stage, let us not be too ambitious, but just finding a roadmap that is credible would be good enough.
All right, Emmanuel, thank you for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for inviting me.